Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He wants connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan. That's true. Right after last night, that random Bears fan, that stands up. Terry Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that's... suck.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I suck.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have a game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Dantonio.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
I wish the Cubs had traded for him. AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
J.D. Martinez.
They say we suck, we suck. Let's suck. Let's go suck together. Let's go have fun sucking.
Zach Eflin.
It sucks. It's as a result of us sucking.
Clayton Kershaw.
Suck it, big dumper.
Out of baby.
Suck it, big dumper.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Trash Panda.
What's up? That was too good of a roll call. I should have made a tactical error. It was too good.
No, I stopped it myself. I wanted them to... Random Bears fan had it right. After further review, we suck if you're a Bears fan.
No, I was saying I executed the roll call too perfectly.
You did.
I should have made a tactical error.
You'll be off the show next week.
Yeah, I will be. So,
yes.
Yeah, I've been fired already.
Okay. So,
hello.
I got to say, this alludes to a guest later on. And ever since Bob Costas became part of Saturday Suckage, his career has really taken off. His ties with Ryan Sandberg, he has become such the headliner, right? As regards Ryan Sandberg, he's much in demand. I think the Saturday Suckage roll call has really jump-started his career.
I don't know if he would have been anywhere without Saturday Suckage, to be honest with you. The Olympics, his career started when he was on Saturday Suckage.
Matt Bowen's career started on Saturday Suckage.
That I did not know.
Yes, indeed. We were the first station to put him on. There are others that go that way. All right, so welcome. And by the way, Saturday Suckage is the only show with a Cubs World Series ring.
Kind of.
Mark Grody will be our guest at 1 o'clock. He owns that World Series ring. He'll be talking Bears, my friends. If we have any survivors by 1 o'clock. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. The Bears' first-string offense, of course, beat everyone to it. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score. Write this down. Write it backwards on your forehead, then look in the mirror so you can dial it. 312-644-6767. That number also gets you to our text line. 312-644-6767. 67. Oh my God. 773. Talk about, we thank you, texters, for coming to our aid. But the idea of combining Saturday Suckers and the Wake and Big Club, 773 texter, no Zambrano, that's a classic. Well, he said we stinks. He didn't say we suck. You notice the common thread in Saturday Suckers roll call. The word suck, not stinks. But I thank you for giving us a heads up on the Wake and Bake Club. I'm giving you the phone number, 312-644-6767. So you can chime in. What? We're done with the preseason. Surprises along the way as the Boers and Bernstein show used to advertise. What are you afraid of now, Bears fans? What did you learn? What gives you hope, Bears fans? 312-644-6767. And there's Trash Panda over there, amazed that I've given the phone number correctly all these times.
You know, blind squirrel, nut, etc.
Yeah, by the way, me and Otter were on vacation. We were in California, the grandson's 2-year birthday, and then my daughter was her bridal shower, baby shower. I became a grandpa since I was last on the air, by the way.
Oh, congrats.
I became a Zeta to baby Leah. So my baby doll had a baby doll, and Leah was born healthy. It was wonderful. It was last Friday, a week ago Friday, and they went and got her in a C-section. And by the end of the day, we're FaceTiming with them in the labor room, the delivery room, whatever the room she was in. This is how far it has come. And then I had a lot of margaritas. A lot of margaritas. So I'm calling it Lit for Leah. That was a week ago Friday. I'm glad I did not have
a show
on Saturday. Anyways, we're out there. We came face to face with a raccoon in Southern California. I thought about taking a picture and asked your dad to shoot it for me, but I've never seen a raccoon in Southern California.
I didn't know they were in Southern California.
We were sitting out there. I was having a cigar. We're having some wine. We're outside, and I didn't know how did it get there?
I thought they were more of a forest area or, you know, Midwest-ish. And then,
yeah,
you know,
more
mountains,
forested area.
Forested, yeah, area where it's interesting. Interesting. I didn't know they existed out there. I mean, I guess they are they're all over the continent. So I guess, fun fact.
Thank you. What should we have done coming face to face without your dad's gun?
Throw something at it.
Well, what if it wanted to come at us for that? Because it thought we might have more food.
I don't know.
Trash Panda, this is you.
I've never faced a raccoon without a gun.
You suck like the Bears' first string. I just all right. Moving right along.
My only answer is throw something at it.
Throw something at it. 847 texter. Suicide is painless. Suicide is painless. We did that last time. I did a long deep dive on MASH because it had lots of NFL. The nexus of MASH in the NFL and the coolest guy in the world, in my world at that time, Elliot Gould. Suicide is painless. Yeah. If you're a Bears fan, you need to sing that. The Bears weren't ready to start a game. Remember how the coach said this is a really good opportunity? I mean, use our starters, really good road game. They're playing their first string. They're a Super Bowl team. And yeah. Yeah, Okay, so the Bears weren't ready to start the game. Caleb Williams wasn't ready to start the game. Ben Johnson didn't have his team ready to start the game. Again, a game they thought a big road test. Look, because Loud, Arrowhead, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes was in it. Okay, so what happens? First-string defense sucks. Such as the first-string defense is. You're still allowed to tackle people. You're still allowed to make plays. The Bears' defense did not get
that. Whoa, don't tell the Dolphins that.
We'll get to them later. The Dolphins. As soft as a Miami Chase lounge. So, Caleb Williams mishandles the jet sweep handoff. Then there's a false start penalty. Then he's got to throw the ball away. You know, this suckage occurs on scripted plays, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Johnson said, yeah, we practiced that. Yeah, we practiced that. We knew what was going to happen. Ben Johnson also said, the good news is we're going to be able to look at this tape and coach it up with our guys. It's out of our system, hopefully, going into the regular season. Okay, this is for a guy that Studs loves as a straight shooter. This is a lot of crap. He's had 5 months to coach them up, and they still suck at starting and basic stuff. We're talking a handoff. We're talking about waiting for the ball to be snapped. You play like you practice, and wasn't every report out of practice, oh, wow, the offense sucked. Oh, wow, the offense is out of sync. Oh, wow, Caleb Williams' offense, not so good. Until proven different, this looks like last year to me, and Caleb Williams sucks at conventional football stuff. Wonderful in the shotgun. Wonderful in chaos. He's the Joker from The Dark Knight. He's just an agent of chaos. In the final 2 minutes, it's great stuff. We saw it time and again. And had they not had idiots as head coaches and assistant coaches, he would be a legend with 4 2-minute drives. But when you bring him in as the starter and you tell him to start the game and you script plays, Trash Panda, tell me this doesn't look like last year. Go ahead. What you saw against a first-string team on the road.
I saw one play that looked like last year. The sack he took.
Oh, that was later on. The first, couldn't get a handoff. Here's your jet sweep. No, we can't do that. Here's your false start. Oh, got to throw the ball away.
Well, is that on him? The false start?
I don't know. Maybe it was his cadence. They stressed cadence for 2 years.
False starts I don't usually put on any one person. That's usually a collective failure.
Hmm. Yeah, well, held on to the ball too long. Took sack. Didn't know how to dirt the ball. And you're talking about a team that it was down 17-0 to starters. Defense sucked as bad as it. The defensive line got bullied. Boy, Trey Smith, the guy the Bears wanted, they had hoped to sign, Trey Smith, he destroyed Dominique Robinson. There was a lot. The Bears were out-physicaled. They got bullied on the defensive line. That offense couldn't start, couldn't be ready. This was scripted stuff. And I don't know what Ben Johnson has planned, but.
Besides actually game planning?
Yeah, right. And if you can keep, maybe the Bears are enough of a heritage franchise that they can petition the league to force other teams to play only their second string defenses. Because that's where Caleb thrives against that. Caleb's wonderful against that. Or maybe you let Tyson Bagent be the starter and Caleb becomes Tyson Bagent becomes the opener and then Caleb becomes the closer. Maybe that's how it works. The great Tom Landry had rotating quarterbacks, Craig Morton and Roger Staubach, 45, 55 years ago, whatever it was. And I know the results aren't. Ben Johnson talked about we'll be a better team in December. Well, God, I hope so. But what are your expectations? Trash Panda, what are your expectations? The first month of the year, before they get to the bye, first 4 weeks, do you expect to see a professional football team?
Yes.
Okay. Do you expect a team that can hand off on the first play of the game?
Yes.
All right. Do you expect a team that looks organized, ready to start a game on the road or at home?
Yes.
Okay. That didn't happen.
That's fine.
And last year, we're the same thing with the idiot coach.
I think we shouldn't draw too many conclusions from any one preseason game. Whether it was last week when they played second stringers, or this week when they played the defending AFC champs. We shouldn't draw any large conclusions from either of those games other than it's preseason game. And look, the fumbled handoff to start is inexcusable, straight up. That's just a mistimed... He mistimed when he took the snap, basically, so he couldn't get the handoff on time is what it looked like to me. And you can't take that sack on second and short. And, you know, it was just sloppy. It was just sloppy. So I don't know if it was lack of focus or it's just that's kind of been the story of camp so far. They have a series of good days and then some really dumb mistakes that are just shooting themselves in the foot. So we might have to ride with that for a little bit, but I do expect those details to be ironed out by the time they play the Vikings.
312-644-6767 is the number. Text line and phones. We'll take a break. When we come back, Ben Johnson has stuff to say after the game. This is his team, his offense, his quarterback for now. And we'll see what he had to say about this kind of performance that he was to blame, at least the preparation part of it, I think. Coach has got to get his team ready to play. You think it's a big opportunity? How good did you do getting your team ready to play? Because your team looked like it was not prepared any better than it would have been under Matt Eberflus. I'm Steve Rosen.
Hold on. That's not true.
Yes, it is. They went on the road and they looked unprepared to start a game. They sucked. What didn't remind you of that 10-game losing streak they had? They sucked to start the game. They weren't prepared. The big moment was there, and they piddled down their legs, offensively, defensively, and then Santos is hitting goalposts, and they're having extra points blocked. Connect the dots. I see a pattern. Maybe you don't. Maybe as a meatball, you love this whole idea. You should know better as a Bears fan, but you don't. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Ben Johnson. And then I have an idea for Ben Johnson. Maybe this is the way it all plays out. Maybe this is all just a wonderful game of playing the rest of the NFL for suckers. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, so of course we're talking Bears. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We'll see more of the ones for Kansas City's defense here. And a fumble on the snap. Williams has to dive on top of it. It'll be a 5-yard loss to start the night.
Yeah, fumble on the motion there with Olamide Zaccheaus. And just a miscue as you see the replay right here. Just a little bit of a miscue. Timing off.
Timing off on a play they practiced because it was scripted. They knew how they were going to open the game. And Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and the offense sucked. Played against first stringers to open the game, and they looked like last year. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, talking Bears. Talking the Bears. Oh, look how good they looked after they got down 17-0. Look, they managed points. Look, yeah, against the second string.
Field goal was against the first team.
Oh, that's right.
That was a good-looking drive.
Yeah, it was wonderful. That's why they got 3 points out of it. So on their first three drives, they had 3 points and 2 punts. Welcome to last year.
No, they didn't get 3 points in the first quarter last year.
That's true.
Or did that field goal technically come in the second quarter? I can't remember.
No, that's, you're right, they didn't. So look,
I think they scored 10 points in the first quarter all of last year.
Look at the progress. I should have you note this. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. So earlier I was talking about the fact that Caleb thrives in chaos and end of game stuff and the conventional stuff, under center stuff, the real way to play quarterback, not so much. And the Bajant, he can be under center. He can run that kind of stuff. He should be the opener, and Caleb should be the closer. Come in and when they need chaos to do something. And an 815 texter combining the wonderful parts of Saturday Suckage and the Wake and Bake Club says, Jason is the starter. You need to quit drinking. Meant Tyson.
Smoke weed every day.
Followed up text. Now, who needs to quit drinking? We just for clarity's sake. All right. After that miserable start, and whatever else you thought of the quarterback and the coach and the offense, here is the coach, Ben Johnson, who brought his team on a road game, played his starters in their first big test on the road, such as it is. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
It is disappointing to me, offensively for sure, because I thought that we'd kind of worked our way out of that. You know, I'm still learning this group as well, because we said this is our first time on the road, and we were going to find out what type of road team we were going to be. And, you know, if the first quarter was really any indication, it's not good enough. So we got to get better in a hurry. Good news is, you know, we'll be able to look at this tape and coach it up with our guys. And I think it's out of our system, hopefully, for us going into the regular season. But yeah, we got to make sure that we start faster on offense and on defense.
Was there something that led you to send Caleb back out there for the two-minute drill, or were you planning to do that anyway?
Well, we had a number of snaps in mind, and we hadn't hit that threshold yet, so we were really sticking to our plan.
What were your thoughts on the third possession when you guys went down and got a field goal, and it looked like Caleb took a shot to Roman in the end zone?
Yeah. I mean, we were able to start moving the ball, and, you know, there's some opportunities that are mixed in. I don't necessarily love that decision based on the look I saw, but we'll have to see what that looked like on tape. I felt like there was a safety in the way. So, once again, that's part of us seeing things. We're learning. The good news is he made it a high back five, which we alluded to in the past, and so it was going to be us or nobody. But we just want him to keep working through his progression there on that one.
There was at least one play where Caleb held the ball for, it was like 5 seconds, I think.
Sounds like good protection.
And took a sack.
See.
How are you guys coming along in that as far as progressing through, being more decisive and not holding on to it too long, trying to make a play and then have a negative play?
Yeah, last week was a really good start for us. This week, wasn't quite the same, it didn't feel like. So, once again, we'll take a look at that and we'll see what we need to address with it.
The fumble to start the game for the offense anyway, what did you see on that play? It looked like Zacchaeus was coming across.
Yeah, bad ball handling. Yeah. We walked through all the openers to start the game, and we didn't execute them very well.
How nice is it to see both of your quarterbacks execute the two-minute drives like they did?
Yeah, that was a step in the right direction. You know, our defense had really, for the most part in training camp, had the upper hand on us. So to see them do it at a high level there and get us a couple touchdowns, that was huge.
That's Ben Johnson after the game. And you can, I guess, read into it, listen to what you want. Bad ball handling, we scripted that. He's leaving you to say, oh, my God, to palm to forehead, going, oh, my God, you practiced that? You practiced the openers, like he said? And we sucked at it. He didn't say that, but he sort of said that. I don't, it's a preseason game, so it doesn't count horribly. But it leaves you with a vision, a thought of, like, wow, they can't do this in a preseason game because they're playing a number one defense. They can only do stuff against number two defenses, second strings, third string. Does that scare you? 312-644-6767. Or have you learned other things from Ben Johnson, from Caleb Williams about the Bears? Because, you know, the defense got carved up by Patrick Mahomes. They wouldn't be the first defense to have that. They weren't as full on defense, but somebody's got to play. And Patrick Mahomes just, this is it. It will forever be payback for drafting Mitch Trubisky over him. And this is what Patrick Mahomes is going to do to you if you're the Bears. and it's going to be an awful thing, and you guys are going to pay for the rest of your lives.
I do think that there's context to be added with, and look, Patrick Mahomes might have ripped him up anyway, but no game planning, yep. Kyler Gordon, Tremaine Edmonds, Grady Jarrett, mm-hmm. and Jalen Johnson all not on the field.
Right.
And so like, I think that I like to think it would have looked better had those guys been on the field, and then you add in an actual game plan versus whatever defense they were running last night.
Well, the Chiefs would have had a game plan too.
Also true.
And it can't give you a lot of confidence about the Bears' backups.
Well, in the I guess the other part is the Bears' general game plan on defense is going to be man coverage for the most part anyway. So,
and I don't think I've ever seen, ever in low these many decades of watching football, I don't think I've ever seen two penalties on one play against one defensive back.
I think I have. That has you had to have seen that at some point.
I don't recall a PI. Oh, and here's a face mask. And I was after that. I'm going. Oh, this. Why doesn't he yell at the official about it and get an unsportsmanlike conduct, and then he could have the hat trick. And he could end up. He was getting a lot of attention in camp. Now, Sean Wright.
Then he got a lot of attention last night too.
He certainly did. And then the guy you figure is going to start over him got beat for a touchdown too, which looked like pretty good coverage. Tyreek Stevenson, pretty good coverage that would have been serviceable in most situations. And the fact that it was the Chiefs, you kind of chalk it up to that. But
I'm not worried about Tyreek Stevenson.
If the Bears play man-to-man and want to play with pressure, do you look at that secondary, oh my God, they got to get home.
I also would note that I found it, I would have to recheck this, but I don't think Dennis Allen sent any extra pressure until after the starters were off the field. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone else noted that. I just kind of thought that that was interesting, that when the starters were out there, they just kind of played it straight up, rush four, no extra pressure. And then the second the starters were out, there's, all right, now we're bringing six.
Well, did you see Montez Sweat or Dio Odengbo at all?
Dio had one pressure, I believe.
Really? Okay.
Well, because there was the one where there should have been a holding call against Montez Sweat, or Montez Sweat was being held. It was the play where Mahomes scrambled and ended up throwing for a first down. There should have been a holding call there, but so they got home there. And I can't remember who was the first one there on that play. It might have been Dio, but the pocket collapsed. Montez Sweat clearly got held,
those guys always get held. And
it's true. Well, this one was an obvious one.
And maybe, again, maybe Montez Sweat isn't the multiplier in the mind of the referees we think it is. Because Luther Burden's penalty, like, do you really need to call that?
No, that was ridiculous.
Okay, but because he's a rookie, rookies get no respect.
Well, I think that there's also a crackdown on sportsmanship this year, which is, if that's going to be something they call in the regular season, then it's going to be a really frustrating year. Because that's something that players do all the time.
Right. And it's something that won't get called in the Super Bowl because they don't want to stop the Super Bowl.
It might, based on last night.
Nope.
It might.
They always do that. That's how Bill Belichick won his first Super Bowl. He knew they wouldn't call penalties in the Super Bowl, so they held the Rams on every play. They held Rams receivers on every play. And
I mean,
dared the NFL to throw flags.
The Legion of Boom also won a Super Bowl by holding on every play.
They hurt people, too. All right, so what do you believe is true from what you saw last night? What do you believe matters? What do you believe going forward? Do you believe, let's start with the defense, got carved up by, but that wasn't all there, and I understand that. Grady Jarrett should make a big difference. But really, Montez Sweat got to be Montez Sweat. You got to be that guy. They're missing a couple linebackers, and at some point, your secondary is going to be under pressure, and that was the point last night, and you saw what happens when you don't get home. And that's a great quarterback. Does that concern you? Dennis Allen's going to put a lot of pressure on. He's going to try. If it doesn't happen, then, hey, Sean Wright, you might commit four penalties on one play. Again, you know, I don't think Nashawn Wright's going to be on Justin Jefferson, and if he is, that's it. Let's just end the season right here. Let's fold up the franchise and turn in the charter.
I think that defensively, it's hard to take away a lot last night, because you said this earlier, because like the Bears defense, starters or no starters, game plan or no plan, game plan, is far from the first team to get ripped apart by Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think that I'm not worried about the defense, and if they come out and the first regular season game, J.J. McCarthy puts up 17 points and three drives in the first quarter, then I'll be worried about the defense. You know, that will be a red flag for me. But until, barring that, I think that I'm not worried about the defense. I think that the defense is going to be above average at least this season. And as far as what mattered last night offensively, I think that what we learned was more confirmation for what we've been hearing from camp, which at times it's going to be sloppy. It's not ironed out yet. Now, I do think that eventually, and what, you know, if it takes a week, maybe it's ironed out by week one here, but if it takes a month up to the bye, that stuff will get ironed out, because Ben Johnson won't accept anything less than that stopping.
What gets ironed out?
So the handoff on the bobbled handoff on the first play, that'll stop. That'll stop at some point. It should stop now.
Okay, the quarterback had a fumbling problem in college.
Yeah, well, that's
a ball
this,
handling problem, this, much like
yeah,
Justin Fields.
I think that is a little different when it's a mistimed handoff versus fumbling when you're being sacked or running the ball. I think that's a little different, because this was more of an execution fumble than a careless with the ball. It is being careless with the ball. But it's a little different than being careless with the ball in the pocket, right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. He didn't fumble on the sack that he shouldn't have taken in the first place. Right. I understand the difference. But we saw so much from last year. What has this guy learned? If you watched yesterday's game against the first team defense in Kansas City, what has this guy learned and gotten better on?
I think he's definitely gotten better at processing the field. And look, I'm looking at both the games here, and I know that the first game, preseason game against Buffalo, they didn't play against starters there. But the thing you can take away is him getting the ball out fast in that game. That is, starters or no starters on the field for the defense, if you're getting the ball out fast, that's a sign of progress. The one time that I feel like he regressed to his old form was on the sack he took. And so for, let's say he got, 30 plays between these two games, I'm just going off the top of my head, and one time I felt like he regressed to his old form, I think that's genuine progress. And you also see there was a play last night where he worked through his reads and got back underneath to Olamide Zaccheaus, who he got it down to him on, I think it was 2nd and 10, gets it down to Zaccheaus after he goes through a couple reads, gets the first down. That's progress. It's genuine progress and something that he struggled with last year. So I think that overall, he's seeing the field faster. He's moving through his reads more efficiently. In fact, one time last week, moved through them a little too fast, I think. And that was on a play where there was a play he kind of fast read it and he dumped it into the flat and ended up being an incompletion, right? But those are two things right there that I think there's genuine progress to be made on. And generally in the offense, did you notice how strong the middle of the pocket has been?
Mm-hmm.
There's been zero pressure from the middle of the pocket, other than a couple times a free runner has come, and that's sometimes just happens. And both the times that happened, Caleb was either able to get rid of the ball, or hell, one time he made a great throw to Rome on the sideline that should have been caught.
Yes.
So
Rome caught the ball yesterday, so that's good.
Yeah, he caught That's it. He, on the next play, he caught it. And, you know, the one on the sideline I'm talking about, which, I mean, there's a great throw by Caleb. Guy in his face, great throw on the sideline, mm-hmm. giving your guy a chance. You expect Rome to come down with those more often than not. And then he goes right back to Rome on the next play. So,
and he also, the week before, he had thrown a ball across his body that Rome should have caught.
Yes, yes.
And so I will consider those improvements, but at
It's far from perfect.
Those are, it's soul crushing when you take the kind of sack he took from third and short to suddenly third and long because you can't dirt the ball or just throw it out of bounds or anything like that. That's Where is the processing that you're talking about?
I think that on that play, if you look at it, there was nobody open, and his problem ended up being indecisiveness about where to escape the pocket.
That's a processing issue.
Yeah, okay. And so, but more often than not, he's usually fine to good about escaping the pocket. Now, sometimes he might do it too early, right? But usually he's fairly good about getting out of the pocket and making something happen. On that play, I think it needs to be, hey, get out of the pocket. You know, alarm goes off. There's nobody open. He could have escaped right up the middle immediately if he wanted to. And I don't know how many yards he would have gained, if any, but it wouldn't have been, it would have been a minimal sack, a much less lesser sack than it was. Or get out of the pocket outside right away, right?
What really is confounding to me is if you look at the touchdown pass to Odunze, and again, it was against the second string, and but he had two options, and he knew it, and he saw them, and as soon as the cross was made and Rome turned around, there it was. He let go of it.
Well,
you do that in a compressed area of the field, why are you acting so stupid? Why are you so bad when you have more room, more yardage, more space?
Well, I think, again, it goes back to on that particular play where he was sacked, the Chiefs had really good coverage on that play. There was not really anyone open. There's maybe a small window he could have hit Komet about 3 or 4 seconds into the play. So I think that was part of it. And you know, the other part is like what you're saying is the touchdown to Rome. He saw it, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be open. And he's throwing that ball as Rome was turning, basically.
He knew one of the two would be open in the crossing. And great. I'm glad to see that. That was really good. Can you do that against adults? Can you do that against starters? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's see if Ben Johnson is as smart. I have an idea. I'll run by my resident meatball, Trash Panda, about possibilities going into the season. It won't be as grim as what you saw from the first string last night. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Williams has plenty of space on the other sideline. So they fake the toss to the right, all that green grass. And these are the type of plays you want to see Caleb let it rip with his legs.
Hey! No game planning, but a good call there, right? Exactly what I want to talk about. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome and welcome back. He is Trash Panda. We've been talking Bears after what passed for Bears football. Unfortunately, it looked like Bears football from last year against the adults, the first string from Kansas City. We will be talking with Herb Howard of the Bigs at noon. We'll talk more Bears then. We will talk with Evan Altman of Cubs Insider at 12:25, he was at Gallagher Way for the Ryan Sandberg Memorial Celebration of Life, the broadcast. Talk to him about that. And at 1 o'clock, Mark Grody, Take the North podcast and Take the Score Bears reporting. That's him. That's Mark Grody. We'll talk to him then. And we have a special piece of audio we're going to play for Grody. He needs to, as a little monster, he needs to hear this. But for now, that toss play, Caleb gained 18 yards on it. Fake toss. If Ben Johnson is going to be true to his word, and he says, and he said it, going to build, I'm not bringing Detroit's playbook with me. We don't have Detroit's roster. I'm going to build the playbook around what these guys do. All right, Trash Panda, so what you've seen so far, what we know about practice, what does that playbook look like? What do you do with Caleb Williams when you know he's not that good under center? When you know you need the running game, but maybe you don't, maybe you can't, because you know you've got a quarterback who's really good at a shotgun, but that's not what Ben Johnson prefers. But he said he prefers to build a playbook around a guy's strengths. And Caleb Williams' strengths are different from Jared Goff's strengths. So what do you expect to see? We know it's vanilla. He said he pulled out an old game plan the last couple of weeks just to have something done. And in fact, last week, Declan Doyle was calling plays.
In the second half, yeah.
So what happens? There's a surprise coming. I imagine there's a surprise coming. Ben Johnson's the guy who throws to the fat guys more than Matt Nagy ever did. And he showed it off. There were some practices. We said, we're going to put this on video. We're going to let people see this.
Darnell Wright can move.
Yes. Darnell Wright, the new Doug Kramer Jr. So what do we think? What do you imagine? What is Ben Johnson's a creative guy. If he holds true to what he said, what does this Bears offense look like against a defense where you need to have surprises? Brian Flores' defense in Minnesota with the Vikings is a scary damn thing. It can confuse the hell out of you. So you have to attack first. What do you do?
I think that overall the offense will, especially early on, will have a lot of plays designed to give Caleb easy completions, especially early on. So stuff like last night, for instance, where on the second drive they had that little play fake and then DeAndre Swift leaked out to the left and it was just a nice easy throw in the flat and DeAndre Swift goes for 8 yards. Stuff like that. And like the first play against the Bills where it was a play action rollout, easy completion for a first down to Colson Loveland.
Yeah, the bootlegs are, because that's an option for Caleb Williams. He could run. He could have kept going.
Right. Or the naked bootleg from last night. Now, I don't know if that exact play will end up out there now that it's on film. I don't expect a lot of the actual plays we've seen to necessarily end up, say, in the game plan against Minnesota, because Minnesota's defense is different than anything they've seen so far. But Ben Johnson does know how to game plan against Brian Flores. I saw a stat during the broadcast last night. The Lions were 5-1 against the Vikings under Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator, and they put up like 30 points a game.
With a quarterback largely under center and a two-headed game.
I think they will definitely be a lot of running. So I think we got a little taste of that last night where, especially on the second drive, they started handing the ball off more. And DeAndre Swift, I think, had a pretty good game last night.
I think Caleb Williams looked better under center on run plays. I don't know that he totally buys into feeling comfortable turning his back on the field in the five-step drops, seven-step drops.
Yeah, but
in the running
plays.
We'll
see how that progresses.
Okay. So at least that's a step forward under center. But what you're talking about, what Ben Johnson does to Brian Flores' defense, was a different offense. This is not,
right.
Caleb Williams is not Jared Goff.
I think you'll definitely see more shotgun than Ben Johnson ran in Detroit.
You think you'll see a lot of it since that's what Caleb is comfortable with?
I don't know about a lot of it. I think it'll kind of depend on the game because I think that Caleb has gotten a lot more comfortable, kind of what we've been talking about here, under center. And, you know, it's still a work in progress, but he's a lot more comfortable than he was last season based on what I've heard and what I've seen. And so they'll still be doing under center stuff, but I don't think it'll be quite as much under center as you saw with Jared Goff, because that's a strength of Jared Goff. Jared Goff's always had that ability to play from under center and hammer the middle of the field. Now, I do think when Caleb was most confident and in rhythm last year, he threw in the middle of the field a lot. And Ben Johnson's offense in Detroit hammered the middle of the field.
Right. That's what the two tight ends are all about, whether
and
you're
so,
under
yeah,
center
think,
or whether you're in shotgun.
I think there's going to be a lot of scheming guys like Komet and Loveland open. I think they're going to get really creative when it comes to how to get DJ Moore the ball, because whether it's handing the ball off or designing screens or underneath throws. I think you're not going to see DJ Moore running deep as often as guys like Roma Dunze will. That was a big flaw of the offense last year. You had Keenan Allen running the most deep routes in the whole offense, and that's never been his thing.
No.
Ever.
No.
And that was an idiotic part of the offense. So,
8 yards and turn around, and there's Keenan Allen.
The simple idea that guys like Olamide Zaccheaus, I think, is going to be a nice short route guy, but Roma Dunze is going to be a guy they're going to get the ball to down the field, I think, a lot. And Luther Burden, I think they're going to be creative getting him the ball. So, you know, as far as the actual type of plays, you know, I couldn't tell you, but I do think in general, compared to what Ben Johnson's done in the past, you'll see more shotgun, especially initially, because we know that Caleb is extremely comfortable in that realm. And he said How many times have we heard Ben Johnson say, we're going to tailor this offense around Caleb?
Exactly, so what I said. That's why I brought it up. You are going to see more shotgun.
Yeah.
And I suspect the way you beat Brian Flores' defense in that situation, if you're Caleb Williams, is give him less to process, because it still seems to be an issue. He's got a target, catch it, throw it. That's what the shotgun allows him to do.
And Caleb actually did pretty well against Brian Flores' defenses last season. Again, a totally different offense.
He was really good in chaos. Really
so
good in chaos.
I wonder if the fact that Brian Flores brings so much pressure, it makes Caleb play fast. And he's like, hey, I got to get the ball out. And he knows he's got to get the ball out. And he hits his first read, hits his second read, get the ball out.
And he can see it coming out of the shotgun. I think he's going to turn into Lincoln Riley, but a smarter, more polished version. I think that's what it's going to look like, because Jayden Daniels became the offensive rookie of the year because they ran a college offense. If you're building an offense around the strength of your quarterback, we all know what it is, and it wasn't what you saw last year. It wasn't what you saw in the last couple weeks. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we will discuss this and more Bears-analia with Herb Howard of the Bigs. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.